from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We swing into a Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 99 The Game. It is July the 7th. We have a big game for the Braves this afternoon. The deciding game of a 3-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies with Lopez on the mound. Hopefully the Braves can win the series, and that would be some good positive news, and we all could use some good positive Braves news right about now. That would be a nice thing, and let's see if they can build on that as they go back out on the road here soon. So let's see what the Braves could do today. You want to jump in on the Braves, you're welcome to it. 404-726-0929. It's an open show. You can talk about whatever you happen to be top of your mind here. I always present questions, and of course, now that we're 9 days away from the first rookies reporting from multiple NFL camps, I want to remind you a couple of things here in regards to training camp and how this is kind of going to work here, all right? So the training camp this year for the Falcons, the rookies and the veterans report on the 24th, 17 days from now, at Flowery Branch. But because at IBM Performance there, they're doing so much building, and I really wish I could get up there. I really do. And I just can't, and it sucks. But because I really want to see the team, I may have to try to figure out some way to get there. Can't Uber. That would cost me. I live 75 miles from Flowery Branch. I can't Uber. That's not going to happen. So, they're building so much, there's going to be no fans allowed this year. But at 92 on the game, from morning shift through Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, they're going to be in and around training camp every single day of camp. Okay, every single day of camp, every show, every single day of camp, in and around. There'll be some special weekend shows as well, in and around camp. And we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage, even though no fans are there. You're going to hear from all the players, all the coaches. You're going to hear from all the media. You're going to hear all the talk about chatter about what's going on, eyeballs on the team in camp to get reports, first-hand reports on what's taking place. Now, there are going to be two open practices, one at Seckinger High and one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And as we get towards those open practices that you can attend, we'll certainly talk more about those as we go along. One's in about 3 weeks, and then the Mercedes-Benz one is in early August. All right, so as we get closer to those, we'll certainly fill you in on those. Now, having said that here, NFL.com's power rankings come out, and I'm looking at them, and I look, okay, Kansas City, I mean, it's what you would expect, right? Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, Detroit, hard to argue. Those are the four. I mean, to me, I think that, I know somebody said, oh, the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. I actually kind of think that the Ravens might be the best team in the NFL. We'll find out. I mean, I just, that defense with Lamar, I think that they're the most dangerous team. I think it's going to be kind of their year. I think they're sort of the team to beat, but that's just kind of how I look at it. I mean, you could pick one of the four. Somebody else said the Lions are the best team in the NFL. Right, you could pick one of the four. And I wondered, the Falcons came in somewhere in the middle there, okay? But they are favored to win the NFC South. And I wondered how you felt about whether, as favorites to win the NFC South, as you look at teams like, and you can kind of cross examine them, teams like the Lions from a personnel standpoint. Because I look at the, let's look at the, forget about the NFC South. Let's go back to the NFC North here. I think on paper, and this is just my opinion, you may have a different opinion at 404-726-0929. On paper, okay, and it's all we're talking about right now because we haven't seen the teams actually play. On paper, I think the Falcons are close to, but not better than, they're certainly not better than the Lions at the moment. Again, I can make an argument the Lions are better than San Francisco. So if that's what you're measuring yourself against, but I think the Falcons on paper are better than the Packers. I know they're better than the Bears, and I know they're better than the Vikings. So I think that, you know, the Falcons are, if they were in a division with San Francisco, okay? No, they're not as good as San Francisco. But I know that on paper, they're better than the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, even though I think the Cardinals might actually be pretty good this year, I think Raheem would tell you they're better than the Rams. And he would know, and Jimmy Lake would know, and Zach Robinson would know. I think they kind of gutted that team. I think Sean McVay, probably not real happy that Raheem and Jimmy and Zach Robinson left. Because it was like, oh, okay, that puts a pretty big hole in this team. And, you know, so, and then you look in the East, for example. Right, is Philadelphia the best team in the East? Yes. Is Dallas right there with them? Yes. Are they either team demonstrably better than the Falcons? Not in my book. I think these Falcons hang with the Eagles. It'll be interesting, right? I mean, in a way, that opening three-game set, Pittsburgh, and then on the road, when we're talking about on the road against both the Chiefs and the Eagles, boy, you'll get 3 weeks into the season and you'll have a pretty darn good idea, right? I mean, that Chiefs game's here? Oh, I take that back. The Chiefs game's here? Well, I thought there were two road games. Oh, okay. I thought they were at Kansas. All right, so they're here. All right, anyway. Tampa and New Orleans, one of those a road game? Where's my schedule here? The Kansas City game. Yeah. No, there are four home games in the first five.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Yeah. So you go to Eagles.
I was just under. Yeah.
Chiefs,
I was under
come
the
here.
Impression. Well, yeah, let me correct that. Yeah, you're here. I stand corrected. The Chiefs game's here.
And the Saints. Home against Pittsburgh,
that's a great start at home. Saints are here too. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Home against Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia, home against Kansas City, home against New Orleans, and then you got a quick turn it. You got to go home against the Swampers, and then Thursday home against Tampa. That's hard. You got a quick turn between the Swampers and Tampa. I guess the best news about that is that Tampa will be obviously having to travel on that quick turn, and you won't. But wow, and three of those are primetime games. By the way, the Philadelphia game is a primetime game at 8:15. The Kansas City game is a primetime game at 8:20. That's Philadelphia's Monday Night Football, Kansas City's Sunday Night Football, and then Thursday Night Football against Tampa. So we're going to get national in those. Let's just expand it out to the first five. You got four home games, right? And so you'll know after the first five games how they are, because national TV is going to get a chance to see them three times on national TV in prime time in the first five games, and four of them at home. They have to get off to a quick start. They have to get off to a really quick start this year. So anyway, all right, step back here again. When we're comparing the Falcons to other teams, they're not there yet. I'm not sitting here trying to blow smoke up your skirt. Look, I'm the guy that said last year, I stood here, most standing, sat, and said to you, 10 wins, they're going to win 10. And the reason that they were going to win 10 was I was pretty darn confident, and I was right, that the defense was going to be pretty good. They spent all that money. I looked at it and went, you know what? Jesse Bates and all these guys, that defense is, you know, Grady, that defense is going to be pretty good. And I said, I like this defense quite a bit. I like Ryan Nielsen. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. The whole Bijan thing going to work. I really like him a lot. You got Tyler Allgeier. All we have to do is have a quarterback who does not lose us games. I said, Desmond Ridder doesn't have to set the world on fire. He just can't lose us games. And what did he proceed to do? He lost us games and lost us games and lost us games. Tim, pretty down in the mouth, wants to sit here and talk about Carolina going 95 yards on you when, if Desmond Ridder throws the ball out of the end zone, the Falcons end up winning that game likely. Instead, Desmond Ridder, who can't process for the save his life, DoorDash Des rolls to his left and spots a wide open safety at the 5-yard line. Hey, complete. Oh, wait, wrong team. And what was worse than throwing into triple coverage is that if he had had any vision, go watch the play, Drake London is slashing and cutting into the end zone, and you could hit him on a slant pattern as he's coming into the picture from the right. And it wasn't like he was on the other side of the field. He's on this side of the goalpost coming into your field of vision, and that's a touchdown. And, okay. So any kind of competent quarterback play last year, that team wins 10 games. And, by the way, maybe we should be somewhat thankful that they didn't have quarterback competency last year, you know, or over the last three, you know, years, the last couple of years, with, you know, a Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash Dez, because that led to a coaching change, which I think is a net positive in Raheem Morris. I think Raheem Morris is a huge upgrade over Arthur Smith. And it also led to the decision to change the quarterback room out, because if they had won 10 and made the playoffs last year, mark my words, everybody, we'd be sitting here going, okay, what is Arthur Smith going to do in year four? And, you know, what are we doing about, because, you know, the odd thing is, if you stop and think about it for a second, Arthur Smith would have kept his job, right? If you won 10 and made the playoffs and hosted a game at home, even if he had lost that game, he would have kept his job. You're not going to fire a coach who just took you to the playoffs. He's showing improvement, right? Would they have taken Michael Penix at quarterback at 8? Would they have taken Michael Penix at quarterback at 8? My guess is no. Because they would have said, Dez has got this. We don't need a quarterback. We've got the guy. My guess is no, they wouldn't have. And how does that change things when we look back at this moment, at that moment, say 5 years from now? That'll be interesting, won't it? Yeah, that'll be just something to think about. That's all. 404-726-0929. So do you think the Falcons are a long way away, like in the 20s like Tim does? 22, I think, what do you say, 22? Or are they shouting distance, which is like kind of middle of the pack of the NFL, or are they striking distance, which kind of puts them at the edge or even into the top 10 when you look at the top teams in the NFL? Because I look around the division, I think they're the best team in the division. I could start to compare them to other divisions, and I go, they're better than everybody but San Francisco in the NFC West. They're better than everybody but Detroit in the NFC East. In the NFC North. And I look at Philadelphia and Dallas and go, I think they can hang with those guys. They're better than Washington. They're better than the Giants. And I start kind of comparing them to divisions. And I go, you know what? They're a pretty good team. Now, AFC North is a different story. It's an animal of a different stripe, okay? But the AFC West, I mean, everybody's like, oh, Jim Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. It's going to be great. Yeah, okay. As somebody who covered the Chargers once, trust me, I've heard that before. It's like, yeah, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. And it may work, and they may be better, but do I think that, by and large, the Chargers are a better team than the Falcons? No, I don't. I just have some... Look, understand something. It's not necessarily about going from the worst quarterback room in the NFL to a top 10 quarterback room in the NFL, which I think they absolutely did. And it's not just about, you know, the changes in terms of the roster and styles and schemes, because I think they're going to go back to something that amounts to more of an 11 package, which is to say three wide receivers and more of a lead blocker. And I think they're going to run the ball more effectively. I expect Bijan to break off more big runs. I think they're going to go to something that amounts more to the offense you saw the Falcons run in 2016, as opposed to what Arthur Smith ran here for the last 3 years. So it's going to be more of that kind of an offense. But it's less about scheme. It's even less about personnel for me. The biggest thing that I'm grasping onto as a Falcons fan right now is what I perceive to be a marked, and this is the one thing I really wish I could go to in Flowery Branch, and that's why I'm going to need all the eyes from Tiffany Squid and Mike Johnson through Andy and Randy and through Steakhouse and through Dukes and Bell to fill me in on, and for Joe Patrick and all these people out there who are going to be covering the team, all of you who are out there to fill me in on, because I get a sense that there's going to be a marked difference in the attitude of the team. A marked difference in the attitude of the team. That Raheem Morris is going to bring to this team something really great, something really unique, something really positive, and that there's going to be an entirely different feel around this team than there has been over the past few years. I will tell you this, too. And any of the hosts who were here in 2016... who covered the team on 92.9 The Game, who are still here now, and that's pretty much all of us, will tell you that in 2016, I can't stress this enough to you. I could tell you this for fact because we were there day in, week in. I was there a lot, 25 times, 30 times, 40 times. I don't even know how many times. And when they said back in 2016, the Brotherhood, that was real. They weren't just saying it to say it. You could sense a palpable belief in that. That's why I keep talking about the Rays don't have anything to hang their hat on in terms of mojo here. The Falcons had that. It was one of the driving forces. That team was 7-5. And they just lost, the 2-point game to Eric Berry in Kansas City. And we're going kind of nowhere. And then they just, they just took off and were unbeatable until 3 minutes to go in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. But there was something about that. And I have a sense that this year there's going to be a palpable change in attitude in Flowery Branch. And that palpable change is worth 2 to 3 wins on its own, regardless of an upgrade to the roster. I think Raheem Morris is the X factor in all of this. God, I hope I'm right. Sports Radio 92.10 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. Zeke Love pointing out that the defense didn't do his job in critical moments against other teams. And not, he said, not defending Tim. It's on my Twitter at John Fricke, J-O-H-N-F-R-I-C-K-E. And Zeke, I got to tell you, I understand and I appreciate the fact that the defense did fail at times. But in my world, I look at it entirely differently. I just do. It's just the way I look at it. That defense was put in untenable situations, in terrible positions. They had to carry everything. I mean, they felt like if they didn't get a turnover, like the, you know, well, they got off to a quick start. Yeah, because Jesse Bates made two interceptions in the opening game. If they didn't create, they had to create the offense. They didn't have to just stop the other team. They had to actually be the driving force to give the team any remote chance of winning the game. And so they carried such a burden because the quarterback play was so awful, and it was terrible, right? I mean, they carried such a burden. Boy, they're going to be unburdened by that this year. It's going to be interesting to see how they react to the fact that they may be playing with something that they didn't. How often did that team play with a lead last year? Not that much. That'd be an interesting stat, wouldn't it? How many minutes out of what, you know, 1,000 and, well, there were no overtime games. Was there an overtime game last year? I can't remember anymore. But 17 games times, 600 would be 1,020 minutes, correct? 1,020 minutes, quick math. Of those 1,020 minutes of game time, how many minutes last year did the Falcons play with? I'm sure there's a stat out there. Did they actually play with the lead? Because I don't think it would have been that many. Less than half, that's for sure. Maybe demonstrably less than half. 404-726-0929. Let's get to Ed, who joins us. Ed, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to talk with you, John. And I got to briefly tell you why the Falcons are the third best team in the NFC. They have a first class. Arthur Smith did the best thing by hiring Raheem Morris because he has a first class organization that comes to the team, which they never had before, which is the reason why he'll never have a losing season because he knows what he's doing. Next, the quarterback. Is the reason why Kirk Cousins, no one's brought this up, which they really have to remember is the most important thing why they brought Kirk Cousins in. He destroyed the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football last year. No one ever remembers that. We totally dismantled that defense, the best team in the NFC. So that tells us right there that Kirk Cousins can do the job when he has to do the job. Let's leave that alone. And one other thing I'll say about Kirk Cousins, he'll be the first NFL quarterback to throw for 6,000 yards if he stays healthy because he can do it. You can throw 200 yards every single game with the wide receivers and the running back that they have. They've got it going on. That's not going to be the problem. Defense, yes, that's a concern. But remember last year, John, they held opponents, I think, 14 of the 16 games under 30 points. I mean, this Raheem Morris knows his defense. He's a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. He knows how to get that defense in line. They're not going to be giving up 30 points a game or that kind of a situation. They're on top of everything. They'll make sure that they correct mistakes at the game level time. They're not playing games here. They're going to win games. So everybody has to realize this is going to be a great team. Third best team in the NFC. They'll make the NFC championship game. They'll win their division every single year he's there. It's not even a concern to me. They just have to execute, execute, execute. And that's all there is to it.
All right. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Yeah, I don't see Kirk putting up those kind of numbers, if for no other reason than I really believe that the Falcons are going to be really balanced on offense. They're going to want to run the ball. Again, that's what Charlie Werner's not just in to block for pass protection. Charlie Werner's here to help plow the road here. I think there's a strong belief that Bijan Robinson could be, you know, if he stays healthy, you know, a 1,200-yard rusher. Not to mention Tyler Algier. I think the whole point is you want to have it's an exceptionally good run blocking offensive line as it is. You want to take advantage of that. They're an elite rush blocking offense. And so, you know, a lot of the reason that, you know, Baltimore ran for more yards last year than them was because, you know, it's Lamar Jackson. He's just doing it on broken plays or on design plays or things of that nature. But from a strictly running back room, this is why, you know, people say, well, look at the rushing offense of the Detroit Lions. Look, I like Jahmyr Gibbs, don't get me wrong, David Montgomery. I mean, it's a heck of a combo. I like those two players. But I would not trade Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier straight up for those two. I wouldn't do it. I could be wrong because I have been wrong in the past. But I see some things happening and I go, okay, this just becomes apparent to me that this is about to happen. And one of the things that's apparent to me that is about to happen is we are about to be in a world where at the end of this season, Bijan Robinson, if he's not number one, he'll be no less than number two in running backs in the NFL, and that depends on what kind of a year Christian McCaffrey has. Because if McCaffrey doesn't have a McCaffrey-like year, and I'm not rooting against that, and I'm certainly not rooting for injury, I wouldn't trade Bijan Robinson for anybody not named Christian McCaffrey. In the entire NFL, I think he's that good. I think, guys, you're looking at a running back who's special, okay? I mean special. And so you're not going to use him. you're going to use him in swing patterns, but you got a lot of other options too. Don't kid yourself. You're going to like Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore Man, that dude, you're going to, there's a couple of guys that you don't realize you're going to fall in love with this year. And Rondale, he's one of them. You're going to be like, you're going to fall in love with the guy. It's great. You're going to find out how great he is. Ask an Ohio State fan. I'm just telling you, he drove me nutty watching him play in Big Ten. Man, that dude can play. Aaron's with us. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, you know, I'm glad that the Atlanta Falcons fans are very optimistic. And, you know, I myself say the Falcons can win the Super Bowl this year. That's optimism now. Like any other team today, any team in the NFL can win the Super Bowl this year. That's optimistically. Realistically, on the Atlanta Falcons, the money you paid the Cousins, okay, now you got to go out and you got to renegotiate with every player on the team. And I heard you for the last couple of weeks. Oh, the Falcons were, what, number three in defense, what, five or six in offense? But you got to go back to each and every one of these players to renegotiate their contract, which is probably going to be some of them for less money. I don't think they may be that enthusiastically ready to play. And I don't think the Falcons realistically have a lock on the NFL South. Thank you, brother.
Well, Aaron, which team are you rooting for here? Who's your team?
You know, hey, John, you know I'm a Steelers fan. You know that.
Okay, so let's step back for a second, Aaron. No, I don't know that. I don't know you, Aaron. Let's step back for a second here, okay? Because you have to walk me through what you just said because it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would any Falcon have to renegotiate? Their team is set.
Well, they paid $180 million to Cousins.
Okay, now, why would they have to renegotiate? No, no, you said players have to renegotiate. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, this is what you all Falcon fans said. We need to get this. We need to get that. We need to get an end rusher. We need to get a cornerback.
Well, they can.
Now,
I mean, they've got some money under the cap. We're talking about one move for. What are you talking about, Aaron? I have no clue what you're talking about. I literally have.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. You got everybody in Atlanta think the Falcons have a lot with a brand new coach who don't know all his players that they go win the South automatically. That's not a lot. Okay, now, you asked me the same thing. At the beginning of the season, they said, this is what we need. We need end rusher. We need a cornerback. And then you go out, look, I'm glad Cousins make $100 million, $80 million. I'm glad for any player to make that kind of money. But don't be trying to flim-flam me by saying they got a lock on the NFL South. You talk about their defense from last year. Their offense was pretty decent last year, so for the quarterback. Their defense was pretty good. But now you got to go renegotiate with the players, and this is not me. This is what
Why? Wait a second. Stop. Aaron, that makes no sense. What are you talking about? Their team is set. There's no renegotiating. Why do you have to renegotiate?
John, you're not living in the now, brother. They said that from the front office, they claim they got to renegotiate with their players. Maybe it's not all the players. But with some
That's not true. They did not. No. Aaron, that's simply not true. Their salary cap is set.
Okay,
their contracts are set for this year.
I'm going by what you guys in the media have been saying.
No, we haven't said that at all, Aaron. That's simply not true. Oh, Aaron, one other thing. Aaron, listen to me for real quick here, okay? Aaron, your Steelers are going to get their kicked by the Falcons. I mean, arse kicked. We're going to kick your arse all over the field in the opening game. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate the call.
Oh, well, like I say, that.
I mean, goodbye. Just insane nothingness. I mean, I don't mind if you have a take, but when you come on here and you say something as inane as what Aaron just said, and Aaron, I'm sure you're a really good guy, we are going to kick your butt on opening day. And by the way, and that's going to be the coming out party. Because you are going to get your butt kicked. I just don't. You are not paying attention, Aaron. And the Steelers aren't a bad team. And the Falcons are going to work them on opening day. So, and you're going to go, oh, what the hell was that? I'm going to go, yeah. Yeah, we tried to tell you. There's no, renegotiate what? What are you talking about? The team is sad. Yeah, they've got about $3.5 million or so under the cap right now. And as we get into camp, you know, they'll cut some more players. I mean, they may cut Heinicke loose, or they may hang on to Heinicke. I have no idea. You know, and if they do, they create a little bit more room, and there may be a couple other players get cut and replaced, and they may bring in another player, and they may make a run. And they, could they go add an edge? Yes, possibly. Could they go add another veteran corner? Yes, possibly. I'm sure they will. They'll look at other guys. Okay. Steelers fan wants to come in here. Now and just dog us like he has any clue as to what's going on. He doesn't. And I have tremendous success. You know, you talk about the greatest franchises of all time in the history of the NFL, right? Four names come to mind. Well, five. The 49ers, and recently the Chiefs, but the 49ers, right? The Cowboys, the Patriots, the Packers. You know, they are the great franchises, the blue bloods of the NFL. And Mike Tomlin's a phenomenal coach. And I hope, this is my hope, that Raheem Morris is our Mike Tomlin. That he is the guy that's going to be here for 15 years. But as a Steelers fan, dude, I got to tell you, the odds of you finishing last in that division are pretty high. Last. Okay? Because I know for a fact the Ravens are far better than you are. I think the Bengals are better than you are. And the Browns are at least as good as you are. But, you know, I mean, that's not to say, by the way, the Steelers are a bad team. They're not. I mean, they could finish last at 8-9. But I don't think they're not world beaters. And you got a big question at quarterback. And an even bigger question at offensive coordinator. Good luck, Aaron. Welcome to the world of Arthur Smith. Enjoy. Quick break. We're back with you as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Sunday afternoon with John Fricke in the Northern Kia Studios, talking a little Falcons football, talking about the Hawks as well. Question for the Hawks is, everybody else out there making deals, DeMar DeRozan, $374 to Sacramento. And you got the Warriors going out and making a big deal, a 6-team, 7-team, 18 trade, whatever it was, to get Buddy Hield to replace Klay Thompson. And Charlotte's making moves, and Orlando's making moves, and the Hawks are... No, they're shredding salary, which makes me wonder if it's about next year. And is it about next year, or is it actually never? Am I just fooling myself? On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to be clear about this, if I can. You know, when it comes to callers like Aaron, you're welcome to call the show, okay? I want fans of other teams to call the show and talk about your team. If Aaron wants to call in and talk about the Steelers and how I think it's going to work, I'm going to have a discussion with him about, Arthur Smith with Russ and with, you know, I mean, look, do you going to have a quarterback controversy, you know, between, you know, two starting quarterbacks that are on the same team and... You know, I mean, is it Russ and Justin? Are they going to be flipping? How's he going to handle this? We've seen how Arthur Smith handled two quarterbacks in the past. Because last year, remember, he yanked the number one quarterback, put in the backup. Then he yanked the backup, put in the number one quarterback. Then he yanked the number one quarterback, put in the backup. Then he did it again. He kept yanking quarterbacks because neither of them were any good. Now, granted, he has two quarterbacks who are, you know, supremely better than those two. But still, at the same time, is he going to yank Russ if things are going wrong and put... Yeah, that's not a recipe for success in the NFL, and he's inclined to do it. Now, will Mike Tomlin let him? I don't know. Beats me, but it would be a concern to me. Plus, if I'm looking around that division and going, okay, you know what, Baltimore, because I think Baltimore is the best team in the NFL. That's John Fricke's personal opinion. A healthy Joe Burrow? Yeah, Cincinnati are going to be pretty good. That may be a team that nobody's talking about right now. That suddenly, wait, the Bengals are back? Yeah, because did you forget how good that guy is? I think everybody forgot how good he is. It's like, did you forget how good that quarterback is? He's like, oh, yeah, because there was a time, remember, not long ago when we said, oh, my God, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, that's how good that guy is. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about, oh, here are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, it's, you know, it's Mahomes, it's Lamar, it's, you know, no, what, did you forget that there's another guy that if he's healthy, he's right there? Look, and look, everybody is a winner. I understand that. You know, they're talking big down in Jacksonville, as they should. I think Ryan Nielsen's going to have an impact on that team, and Trevor Lawrence is healthy, and they've got a really good team. I'm not going to argue that point at all. And, you know, Jacksonville's got a really good team. That division actually has interestingly, that AFC South has interestingly kind of grown into, boy, has it morphed. I mean, it's a Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars battle. Where the Colts fit into that, if you're a Titans fan, are you kind of looking kind of sideways at what's going on in that division? I would if I were you, because right now you're looking up at the other three. And if you don't think you are, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know you're a proud football franchise. I get it. But boy, that division, whew, that division's no piece of cake either. 404-726-0929, as you want to jump in. Let's go to Brandon. He's on with John. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
All right, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Falcons and the NFL. A team you're forgetting about is the best team in the NFL right now is the Houston Texans. They absolutely are terrifying to me.
And they would be terrifying to you because you're a fan. Because you're a fan of what? Are you a fan of a team in the AFC South?
I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I don't care about any other teams, but the Houston Texans to me look like the best team in the NFL right now.
Oh, they're a very good team. Yeah, I was just using NFL.com's rankings. As far as I know, the Texans are fifth.
Fair enough.
I mean. Yeah, I just was using NFL.com's rankings. They're top four. Kansas City 1, San Francisco 2, Baltimore 3, Detroit 4. And that's why I was just using that as a thing. But, I mean, I didn't look beyond the top four. It may well be Houston's 5. Look, I think C.J. Stroud's a really good quarterback. He came out and he said, here are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I forgot what his list was. And I looked at the list and I went, okay, C.J. doesn't quite get this yet, because he had himself in the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I was like, yeah, C.J., you're really good. You ain't one of the 5 best. Sorry.
No. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. But they loaded up, man. Stephon Diggs is going to be great for them.
They've got a good team. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not terrified of them. They're not my division. I don't know where we're going to play them. So I mean, I'm not really. You shouldn't be, as a Packers fan, you should be worried about them either. You're not probably going to play. Yeah. Do you play them in the regular season?
I believe that we do play the NFC, the AFC South this year. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I got to ask you about the Kirk Cousins Kool-Aid. Where'd that come from? Been watching him for years. He's never been an elite quarterback, never been close to it.
Okay, well, last year when he got injured, he was leading the NFL in every statistical category as a quarterback, correct?
Yes, because when you're coming from behind, you still throw a lot of passing yards.
Okay, so this is Vikings hate, so let's be clear, right?
But he's no more Justin Jefferson.
This is Vikings hate. Let's be clear. If he had been, if he had been the quarterback of the Broncos, you wouldn't have cared that much. This is Vikings hate, correct, Packers fan?
I guess you could say that.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. It's fine. By the way, I have no problem with hate. I get it. If it's the same stuff I would have said about Swampers, okay? I'm with you. Okay. I'm just open about it, okay? This is why Derek Carr, I'm like, Derek Carr's no good. And, because I got Swapper hate. I understand what you're saying, but he doesn't have – elite is – it's not – we're not asking – understand what the Falcons are asking of him, okay? What the Falcons are asking of him is to be better than what the hell we had. That's all.
Fair enough.
You know? We're not asking for the world here. We're just asking for better than what the hell we had. So, and if he's better than what the hell we had – that's all. That's all, Brandon. That's it. I mean, so the Kirk Cousins, but correct me if I'm wrong. Have you heard on this station where any of the hosts, and if you have, go ahead, call them out. Have you heard any of the hosts say, there is no doubt that Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFL?
I have not.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of hype around the city, though.
Well, don't blame us for being, look, you're a spoiled Packers fan. We, being the Falcons, made a ginormous mistake back in 1992. Okay? We made a ginormous mistake. We let Ron Wolf go. That was the ginormous mistake. Because when Ron Wolf left, he took that other quarterback with him. And he would have been our guy, our draft pick. Everybody wants to talk about, we had Luka. We had this guy. We had Brett Favre. Okay? We had Brett Favre on our team. You're playing. Okay? And then you guys got really fortunate because the San Francisco 49ers couldn't make up their mind, and, you know, and era. So you had 30 years uninterrupted as a Packers fan of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. How incredibly spoiled were you?
I think Jordan Love's going to be that too.
Yeah, I think he's a good quarterback. He's never going to be Favre or Rodgers. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't think he has Rodgers' potential, but I think he has potential to be better than Favre.
Yeah, okay, you and I see that entirely different. I think Favre was a special kind of cat. All right, but anyway, I do appreciate it. Thanks, Brandon. 404-726-0929. Brett Favre won games on just straight out, you know what. You know, I mean, Brett Favre had something. You know, I know he threw more interceptions than anybody in the NFL, but there were times where he would have scared me more than any other quarterback because he just didn't care. See, one of the reasons he threw so many interceptions, if people don't understand, is he would throw the ball. Because what Brett said was, look, if I throw the ball downfield and let my guy go make a play at like the 6 or 7 yard line and just go up and, you know, even if it's into double coverage to Antonio Freeman or to Robert Brooks or whatever, Bill Schrader, if I throw it up there and he can go up there and make a play at the 5 or 6 yard line and I'm chucking it from my 40 and gets picked off, guess what? Good punt. That's how he viewed it. Good punt. We downed him at the 6 yard line. Okay, good. We just flipped the field. So it was almost a strategy for him. Plus, he had just, I don't know, he was just a special cat. I'm surprised. I'm really kind of surprised. Greatest Super Bowl I was ever at. You know, and there have been some really good ones. Was that Denver in San Diego, the Denver-Green Bay one? How was that, where they let him score? Oh, that game was just whack. The Elway Super Bowl, you know, that game was so incredible. And Green Bay could have won that game. And they would have been, you know, that would have been two for Favre. Anyway, 404-726-0929. We are talking about the Falcons. We're also talking about the Hawks here. But see, isn't this so much fun? Hey, whether we agree or disagree, you know, look, all I ask is that, you know, I'm going to get things wrong. I admit it. I'll get facts wrong. You know, like earlier today, I said Kansas City was a road game. It's not. It's home game. Not that I don't have the schedule, like, right in front of me. I mean, you would think I would just be able to look at it. I mean, for God's sakes. But I'll get things wrong. But when you come on, you know, don't just make stuff up. And that's what got me about this. Aaron's makes it. You guys are going to have to renegotiate. What are you talking about? We don't have to renegotiate anything. Our team is set. I think he's trying to say next year. Well, yeah, everybody renegotiates every year. It's the way of the NFL. It's the way it works. You know, there are some people who are saying that Kirk Cousins is one and done. That if Kirk has a good year this year, that somebody's going to be on the verge of a Super Bowl and they're going to be interested, and the Falcons may trade him, even with $50 million or so, that somebody would be willing to, and then the Falcons could start Michael Penix in year two. That has been said. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. I've just read that some people have said stuff like that. Is that a possibility? Of course. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Do I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback of this team for 2 years? Yes. Do I think he could be the quarterback of this team for 3 years? Yes. How long was Brett Favre the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers before Aaron Rodgers took over? Does anybody know? I should have asked it of Brandon. That's right. 3 years. Think of what Aaron Rodgers' numbers would have been if he hadn't had to sit on the bench for 3 years before he started playing. Yeah, so it's just, look, I don't know what he was trying to get at here. I think he was trying to talk smack about the opening game, I guess. But at least come in here with some semblance of something here. Should the Falcons make a move before? The Falcons are going to make moves during camp. There's going to be another move made here. Players are going to get cut. They may have their eyes on a couple of veterans that they can bring in to plug a hole here or there, or to elevate a group here or there. Sure. Like, for example, I know we don't talk about it a whole lot. I know that Ryan Pace says, and it was Pace who said, that Darnell Mooney had the most separation in terms of separation yards of any wide receiver in the NFL last year. And I thought, well, okay, That's great, but would there be a reason? And by the way, the reason he didn't score a whole bunch of touchdowns is because the quarterback would, like, throw it over his head or out of bounds or sort of like our quarterback. He just wouldn't hit him. A lot of times when you're playing against a team like the Bears, especially, you know, or even a team like the Ravens, when you have that kind of a quarterback, a Fields or a Lamar, you have to kind of check yourself in terms of your safety has to be so aware of quarterback run that you really can't really shade over the top too much in double coverage. And so you really pinch is the point. And so, yeah, those teams probably give a little bit more separation. They're less worried about the pass. They're more willing to put cornerbacks out on an island because of the fact that the quarterback is primarily the biggest threat is run, you know, over pass. So, I mean, how much you could attribute to that, I don't know. My point is, this is a long-winded way of saying, I think the Falcons are possibly in the market for another wide receiver. For a veteran. You know, they tried the Van Jefferson thing. I can see that happening again. You know, that they, if a veteran, especially, because the only problem, you know, Mooney's kind of a small guy. You know, I mean, he's like 6'1". You know, I mean, and then Rondale and Ray-Ray, they're little guys. Rondale and Ray-Ray are little guys. They're like little guys. They're like 5'9". And so another big out there, you got a big in London, a big in Pitts, a third big, if you can get your hands on a 6'4", 6'5" kind of guy. You know, I mean, I could see where that might become a, you know, something that they might want to at least, well, I'm sure they're going to be looking, you know, I know we don't talk a lot about it, but I'm sure they're going to be looking at another big target because you always are, right? And so we'll see how the Falcons play this. Again, this is all about hope and dreams and aspirations. And I think I like what I'm hearing out of Flowery Branch. Now, Squid, who's actually out of Flowery Branch, and I said to you a little bit earlier that I'm going to really lean on. I want to be clear about this, if I can. You know, when it comes to callers like Aaron, you're welcome to call the show, okay? I want fans of other teams to call the show and talk about your team. If Aaron wants to come in and talk about the Steelers and how I think it's going to work, I'm going to have a discussion with him about, Arthur Smith with Russ and with, you know, I mean, look, do you going to have a quarterback controversy, you know, between, you know, two starting quarterbacks that are on the same team? And, you know, I mean, is it Russ and Justin? Are they going to be flipping? How's he going to handle this? We've seen how Arthur Smith handled two quarterbacks in the past, because last year, remember, he yanked the number one quarterback, put in the backup. Then he yanked the backup, put in the number one quarterback. Then he yanked the number one quarterback, put in the backup. Then he did it again. He kept yanking quarterbacks, because neither of them were any good. Now, granted, he has two quarterbacks who are, you know, supremely better than those two. But still, at the same time, is he going to yank Russ if things are going wrong and put? Yeah, that's not a recipe for success in the NFL, and he's inclined to do it. Now, will Mike Tomlin let him? I don't know. Beats me, but it would be a concern to me. Plus, if I'm looking around that division and going, okay, you know what, Baltimore, because I think Baltimore is the best team in the NFL. That's John Fricke's personal opinion. A healthy Joe Burrow? Yeah, Cincinnati are going to be pretty good. That may be a team that nobody's talking about right now. They're suddenly, oh, wait, the Bengals are back? Yeah, because did you forget how good that guy is? I think everybody forgot how good he is. It's like, did you forget how good that quarterback is? He's like, oh, yeah, because there was a time, remember, not long ago, when we said, oh, my God, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, that's how good that guy is. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about, oh, here are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, it's, you know, it's Mahomes, it's Lamar, it's, you know, no, did you forget that there's another guy that if he's healthy, he's right there? Look, look, everybody is a winner. I understand that. You know, they're talking big down in Jacksonville, as they should. I think Ryan Nielsen's going to have an impact on that team, and Trevor Lawrence is healthy, and they've got a really good team. I'm not going to argue that point at all. And, you know, Jacksonville's got a really good team. That division actually has interestingly, that AFC South has interestingly kind of grown into, boy, is it morphed. I mean, it's a Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars battle. Where the Colts fit into that, if you're a Titans fan, are you kind of looking kind of sideways at what's going on in that division? I would if I were you, because right now you're looking up at the other three. And if you don't think you are, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I know you're a proud football franchise. I get it, but boy, that division, whew, that division's no piece of cake either. 404-726-0929. As you want to jump in, let's go to Brandon. He's on with John. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
All right, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Falcons and the NFL. A team you're forgetting about is the best team in the NFL right now is the Houston Texans. They absolutely are terrifying to me.
And they would be terrifying to you because you're a fan. Because you're a fan of what? Are you a fan of a team in the AFC South?
I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I don't care about any other teams, but the Houston Texans to me look like the best team in the NFL right now.
Oh, they're a very good team. Yeah, I was just using NFL.com's rankings. As far as I know, the Texans are fifth.
Fair enough.
I mean. Yeah, I just was using NFL.com's rankings. They're top four. Kansas City 1, San Francisco 2, Baltimore 3, Detroit 4. And that's why I was just using that as a thing. But, I mean, I didn't look beyond the top four. It may well be Houston's 5. Look, I think C.J. Stroud's a really good quarterback. He came out and he said, here are the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I forgot what his list was. And I looked at the list and I went, okay, C.J. didn't quite get this yet because he had himself in the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I was like, yeah, C.J., you're really good. You ain't one of the 5 best. Sorry.
No. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. But they loaded up, man. Stephon Diggs is going to be great for them.
They've got a good team. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not terrified of them. They're not my division. I don't know where we're going to play them. So I mean, I'm not really. You shouldn't be, as a Packers fan, you shouldn't be worried about them either. You're not probably going to play. Yeah. Do you play them in the regular season?
I believe that we do play the NFC, the AFC South this year. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I got to ask you about the Kirk Cousins Kool-Aid. Where'd that come from? Been watching him for years. He's never been an elite quarterback, never been close to it.
Okay, well, last year when he got injured, he was leading the NFL in every statistical category as a quarterback, correct?
Yes, because when you're coming from behind, you can still throw a lot of passing yards.
Okay, so this is Vikings hate, so let's be clear, right?
But he's no more Justin Jefferson.
This is Vikings hate, let's be clear. If he had been, if he had been the quarterback of the Broncos, you wouldn't have cared that much. This is Vikings hate, correct, Packers fan?
I guess you could say that.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. It's fine. By the way, I have no problem with hate. I get it. If it's the same stuff I would have said about Swampers, okay? I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm just open about it, okay? This is why Derek Carr, I'm like, Derek Carr's no good. And, because I got Swamper hate. I understand what you're saying, but he doesn't have – elite is – it's not – we're not asking – understand what the Falcons are asking of him, okay? What the Falcons are asking of him is to be better than what the hell we had. That's all.
Fair enough.
We're not asking for the world here. We're just asking for better than what the hell we had. So, and
fair
he's
enough.
Better than what the hell we had. That's all. That's all, Brandon. That's it. I mean, so the Kirk Cousins, I don't think anybody here, but correct me if I'm wrong. Have you heard on this station where any of the hosts, and if you have, go ahead, call them out. Have you heard any of the hosts say, there is no doubt that Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFL?
I have not.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of hype around the city, though.
Well, don't blame us for being, look, you're a spoiled Packers fan. We, being the Falcons, made a ginormous mistake back in 1992. Okay? We made a ginormous mistake. We let Ron Wolf go. That was the ginormous mistake. Because when Ron Wolf left, he took that other quarterback with him. And he would have been our guy, our draft pick. Everybody wants to talk about, we had Luka. We had this guy. We had Brett Favre. Okay? We had Brett Favre on our team. You're playing, okay? And then you guys got really fortunate because the San Francisco 49ers couldn't make up their mind, so you had 30 years uninterrupted as a Packers fan of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. How incredibly spoiled were you?
I think Jordan Love's going to be that too.
Yeah, I think he's a good quarterback. He's never going to be Favre Rodgers. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't think he has Rodgers potential, but I think he has potential to be better than Favre.
Yeah, okay, you and I see that entirely different. I think Favre was a special kind of cat. All right, but anyway, I do appreciate it. Thanks, Brandon. 404-726-0929. Brett Favre won games on just straight out, you know what. You know, I mean, Brett Favre had something. You know, I know he threw more interceptions than anybody in the NFL, but there were times where he would have scared me more than any other quarterback because he just didn't care. See, one of the reasons he threw so many interceptions, if people don't understand, is he would throw the ball. Because what Brett said was, look, if I throw the ball downfield and let my guy go make a play at like the 6 or 7 yard line and just go up and, you know, even if it's into double coverage to Antonio Freeman or to Robert Brooks or whatever, Bill Schrader, if I throw it up there and he can go up there and make a play at the 5 or 6 yard line and I'm chucking it from my 40 and it gets picked off, guess what? Good punt. That's how he viewed it. Good punt. We downed him at the 6 yard line. Okay, good. We just flipped the field. So it was almost a strategy for him. Plus, he had just, I don't know, he was just a special cat. I'm surprised. I'm really kind of surprised. Greatest Super Bowl I was ever at. You know, and there have been some really good ones. Was that Denver in San Diego, the Denver-Green Bay one? Was that where they let him score? Oh, that game was just whack. The Elway Super Bowl, you know, that game was so incredible. And Green Bay could have won that game. And they would have been, you know, that would have been two for Favre. Anyway, 404-726-0929. We are talking about the Falcons. We're also talking about the Hawks here. But see, isn't this so much fun? Hey, whether we agree or disagree, you know, look, all I ask is that, you know, I'm going to get things wrong. I admit it. I'll get facts wrong. You know, like earlier today, I said Kansas City was a road game. It's not. It's home game. Not that I don't have the schedule, like, right in front of me. I mean, you would think I would just be able to look at it. I mean, for God's sakes. But I'll get things wrong. But when you come on, you know, don't just make stuff up. And that's what got me about this. Aaron's makes it. You guys are going to have to renegotiate. What are you talking about? We don't have to renegotiate anything. Our team is set. I think he's trying to say next year. Well, yeah, everybody renegotiates every year. It's the way of the NFL. It's the way it works. You know, there are some people who are saying that Kirk Cousins is one and done. That if Kirk has a good year this year, that somebody's going to be on the verge of a Super Bowl and they're going to be interested, and the Falcons may trade him, even with $50 million or so, that somebody would be willing to, and then the Falcons could start Michael Penix in year two. That has been said. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. I've just read that some people have said stuff like that. Is that a possibility? Of course. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Do I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback of this team for 2 years? Yes. Do I think he could be the quarterback of this team for 3 years? Yes. How long was Brett Favre the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers before Aaron Rodgers took over? Does anybody know? I should have asked it of Brandon. That's right. 3 years. Think of what Aaron Rodgers' numbers would have been if he hadn't had to sit on the bench for 3 years before he started playing. Yeah, so it's just, look, I don't know what he was trying to get at here. I think he was trying to talk smack about the opening game, I guess. But at least come in here with some semblance of something here. Should the Falcons make a move before? The Falcons are going to make moves during camp. There's going to be another move made here. Players are going to get cut. They may have their eyes on a couple of veterans that they can bring in to plug a hole here or there or to elevate a group here or there. Sure. Like, for example, I know we don't talk about it a whole lot. I know that Ryan Pace says, and it was Pace who said, that Darnell Mooney had the most separation in terms of separation yards of any wide receiver in the NFL last year. And I thought, well, okay, that's great, but would there be a reason? And by the way, the reason he didn't score a whole bunch of touchdowns is because the quarterback would, like, throw it over his head or out of bounds or sort of like our quarterback. He just wouldn't hit him. A lot of times when you're playing against a team like the Bears, especially, you know, or even a team like the Ravens, when you have that kind of a quarterback, a Fields or a Lamar, you have to kind of check yourself in terms of your safety has to be so aware of quarterback run that you really can't really shade over the top too much in double coverage. And so you really pinch is the point. And so, yeah, there's probably those teams probably give a little bit more separation. They're less worried about the pass. They're more willing to put cornerbacks out on an island because of the fact that the quarterback is primarily the biggest threat is run, you know, over pass. So, I mean, how much you can attribute to that, I don't know. My point is, this is a long-winded way of saying, I think the Falcons are possibly in the market for another wide receiver. For a veteran. You know, they tried the Van Jefferson thing. I can see that happening again. You know, that they, if a veteran, especially, because the only problem, you know, Mooney's kind of a small guy. You know, I mean, he's like 6'1". You know, I mean, and then Rondale and Ray-Ray, they're little guys. Rondale and Ray-Ray are little guys. They're like little guys. They're like 5'9". And so another big out there, you got a big in London, a big in Pitts, a third big, if you can get your hands on a 6'4", 6'5" kind of guy. You know, I mean, I could see where that might become a, you know, something that they might want to at least, well, I'm sure they're going to be looking, you know, I know we don't talk a lot about it, but I'm sure they're going to be looking at another big target because you always are, right? And so we'll see how the Falcons play this. Again, this is all about hope and dreams and aspirations. And I think I like what I'm hearing out of Flowery Branch. Now, Squid, who's actually out at Flowery Branch, and I said to you a little bit earlier that I'm going to really lean on people who are going to and been around the team, because I haven't been able to be around this team, and it drives me crazy because it limits to what I can say to you about attitude and about what I'm seeing with my own eyes and hearing with my own ears. Squid's there more than anybody else on the station. So I just ask him if you pop on here and fill me in on some of those blanks. Maybe fill you in as well, because he lives, eats, he travels with the team, as you know. So there's probably nobody that spends more time around the Falcons in the entire media as close and as much as Bo does. So he's going to jump in here for a few minutes on Sports Radio 97.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.